Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of John, John chapter 13, and we'll be reading verses 6 through verse 11 of John 13. If you're just getting familiar with your Bible, it is Matthew, Mark, Luke, then you'll come to the book of John in the New Testament. And maybe if you're visiting or there's somebody that doesn't have a Bible, you may slide next to them so they can read along with us this morning. John chapter 13, if you found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. John chapter 13, I'll be starting verse number 6, and I'll read the even verses, verses 6, 8, and 10, if you'll join with me on the odds this morning. Starting John chapter 13, verse number 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for the reading of your word, the opportunity we have to open up the King James Bible this morning. What a blessing. We do pray that you bless the special, prepare our hearts for the message, bless the speaker, bless us as listening, help us to have open heart and listening ears. In your name we pray. Amen.
The gentle hands of Jesus pick the pieces up, and then he began a transformation in me. When he touched me, all the pieces fell. Was covered by his grace. All the chains that held me captive fell away, and I was free. I found brand new life when he touched me.
My brother me, and all the joy
my soul. All the chains that held me captive fell away and I was free. I found brand new life when He touched me. I found brand new life when He touched me.
Song this morning. Thank you, folks, for the good music. I want to speak to you out of this passage this morning on a bath, a sponge bath, and no bath. That's the title. Brother Brown called me this morning from Texas. Harry, it's 78 degrees down here, sun is shining. I said, that's cruel and inhumane punishment, amen. And he said, you know what you're preaching this morning? I said, yes, sir, I'm preaching on a bath, a sponge bath, and no bath. He said, well, that don't sound like a lot. So I said, well, I heard you say over the years, I'd rather have a sermon with no title than a title with no sermon. Amen. So that's not much of a title, but let's hope the sermon has more to it. But you'll understand as we get into it today, this great passage here in John 13. And I'll be talking about a bath, a sponge bath, and no bath. Let's help. Let's ask the Lord's help today. Father, we do thank You for touching us when we got saved, when Jesus washed us. Lord, everything fell into place. And that doesn't mean life always gets easy. But God, we find our purpose in life and we have our future settled, our destiny. And so, Lord, it is a wonderful thing to be saved. Now, I pray that You'll help Your church today, help our people, help me. God, we're needy folks. Our hearts are in desperate need of spiritual and scriptural truth. I pray that we'd be hungry. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Lord, we'll get what we came for. So if we came to get a blessing, I believe You'll give us one. Help me. I want to be the tool this morning that You use in delivering Your truth to Your people. And I'll thank You in advance for it. God help us in Jesus' name. And amen. The Gospel of John is such a compelling book in the Bible. I don't know if you enjoy it. I just really get blessed reading from the Gospel of John. You remember that John was the, quote, disciple whom Jesus loved. That does not mean that Jesus loved John more than He loved Peter or Andrew or the others. What it does mean is this. John just took the opportunity to be as close to Jesus Christ as possible. And because of that, as a result, the love of Christ was especially real to John. And I submit to you and I that, you know, if we're not feeling the effects or the results of the love of Christ in our lives, it is not His fault. We need to get closer to Him. We need to get some things out of the way, get the conduit cleaned up, get the path opened up, and we too will experience the reality of Christ's love like John, the beloved apostle, did. Now, John is the only one of the four gospel writers to include what we just read about in John 13 in the writings. And to me, this is one of the more touching scenes from the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's get the setting for this incident. This is actually part of the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper Jesus had with His disciples before His crucifixion. We talked about that last Sunday night. Now, look at verse number 2 here. And supper being ended, that's chapter 13, verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. So, the supper is ended. That time of eating and drinking of the Passover meal was ended. Judas, I believe, had already left the premises and gone to start the work of betraying Jesus. And before they sang the hymn that we talked about last Sunday night and went to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus did something very remarkable in this upper room. Now, the meal had taken place in a borrowed guest room or a borrowed upper room. You remember, if you're familiar with the story there in the Gospels, okay? And here's what took place. Okay, in the Middle East, in Bible times, in the culture of the communities and so forth, if I were to host a meal at my house in Bible times, I would provide a servant on duty to wash the feet of my guests. They would travel on the Palestinian soil, most likely in sandals or open-toed type shoes, and their feet would get dirty. And so as my guest, I would provide a pitcher of water and a bowl and some towels and a servant who at some point during the meal or during the time at my house, the servant would wash the feet of my guest. Well, this is a borrowed upper room. The owner did provide the pitcher. He provided the towel. He provided the basin. But he did not provide the servant. He didn't provide for someone to wash their feet. So it's a borrowed upper room. Now, the disciples gather up there, and they're around the table with the Lord Jesus, and nobody offered to get the water and the bowl and the towel and wash the feet. You know why they didn't do that? Because that job was for a servant. And they weren't servants. They were followers of Christ. They were disciples. And Peter's thinking, I'm not washing Matthew's feet. You've seen his feet. I'm not touching his feet, man. Matthew's not going to wash John's feet. John's not going to wash Andrew's feet. No, this is, and I, can you see the disciples? You say, why are you being so tough on them? It wouldn't be any different with you and me. They're all looking around the room and saying, well, where's the servant? Where's the servant? Now, can you imagine their amazement? Look at verse number 3 here. We'll read this here because we didn't read this with Brother Bragg a moment ago for sake of time. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments, His coat, cloaks, and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Can you imagine their amazement, their shock, when the Lord Jesus Christ stood up and went over to that little table where the water was and the towel and the basin, and He got down on His knees and took Matthew and took John and took James's dirty old feet and began to wash them with the water and dry them with the towel. Can you imagine? The Son of God, God the Son, on His knees, washing the feet of common men. Do you know what Charles Spurgeon called this? He called this servant servorum. Servant of servants. Servant of servants. You know, Jesus really meant what He said when He told His disciples, I didn't come to this earth to be ministered unto. I didn't come here to be served. I came here to minister. I came here to serve. He was and is the King, but it was not His time to reign. It was His time to serve, and serve He did. And can I say this morning without preaching on it? No wonder He is the greatest leader. He's the greatest leader because He's the greatest servant. And He's given His disciples an example here. Now, Jesus is in the business of washing the disciples' feet. He's got a few of the disciples' feet washed. Look at verse number 6. He comes to Simon Peter. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said, oh, no, you're going to wash my feet? And the Lord said, Peter, you don't understand. You don't quite get the picture yet. It's not time for me to be the king. I've got to die first. I'm going to go to the cross. You'll understand all of this later, but not now, okay? And so Peter's a little reluctant. He's a little hesitant. Now I want you to look at verse number 8. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Now, folks, those verses contain some powerful teaching for us. Jesus and Peter, now watch it, are having a conversation about washing feet. But Jesus uses it here in the Word of God to teach us some truths about our salvation. Our salvation. Let me point out three of them to you. Three truths out of this passage this morning. First of all, I want to talk to you about the bath. Remember I said that? The message this morning is about a bath, a sponge bath, and no bath. So let's talk about the bath. And let me just say, you find that in verse number 8. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about being washed from our sins. Only Jesus can wash us from our sins. And that's what salvation is. It's kind of pictured as a bath. Peter said to Jesus, Thou shalt not wash. Can you see Peter kind of pulling his feet back up underneath the chair? Jesus, no way. You're not going to wash my feet. You're not touching me. I'm not worthy. And then Jesus said, Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. In other words, what he's saying is, unless I wash you, Peter, unless you've had a bath, Peter, you do not belong to me. Now, people, listen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only one who can wash a person from their sins. Only Jesus can wash away the stain of sin that soils our hearts. Every human being born into this world is soiled with the stain of sin. We got that from our parents, who got it from their parents, who got it from their parents, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Every human comes into this world stained, soiled by the stain of sin. And oh, the devil has offered so many counterfeits. Over these centuries, he has duped people into trusting so many other things and so many other religions. And by the way, religion is one of the biggest things he's used to dupe people about having their sins washed away. But I submit to you folks, like I got to do at the public school up in Leamington, Ontario, Canada, this past Tuesday. You don't get to heaven because you are a religious person. You get to heaven, you have your sin washed away because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. No religion can wash your sin away. You know that even the practice of Christianity can't wash your sin away. Islam can't wash your sin away. Buddhism can't wash your sin away. Whatever you want to call it. Health and wealth, materialism, that the gospel of materialism, that can't wash your sin away. There is not, there never has been a religious exercise, a religious ritual, a religious ceremony that some person can perform that will wash away their sin. People cannot do anything on their own to wash away their sin. Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus Christ must give us our first bath. Jesus Christ must wash us. Jesus Christ must wash us in His own blood. There never has been. You say, we're talking about washing here. Aren't we talking about water? And Jesus has got water in a basin. Yes, the water is in the basin. He's washing the feet of the disciples with the water. But the picture here, folks, is far bigger than this. There never has been any water anywhere in the world so powerful that it can wash away the sin of our hearts. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can effectively wash away the sin. That's why we sing the song, What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the river of the water, water of the river Jordan. No, that's not what it says. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the water in the baptistry tank. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1:19 says this. Bible tells us that we are washed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus shed His blood so that we might be bathed. We might be washed. We might be cleansed from the stain of our sin. Now watch this. When you and I as people add anything to the blood of Jesus or take anything away from the blood of Jesus, we can't be washed. It's His blood and His blood only. I was at Brother Francisco Penner's on Monday and Tuesday, and the church folks that were here Wednesday night know more about it, but I won't, so I don't have time to belabor it. But he's one of our missionaries, and his wife surrendered to preach at the camp out in Iowa under the preaching out there. And so I went up and did a family conference with him Monday, Tuesday, spoke in the public school Tuesday afternoon. We were going home after the service. His dad came to the service. It's a strange situation. The whole community, not the whole community, but a bulk of the community up there, is Mennonites from Mexico. They migrated from Mexico all the way to Canada. And they're Mennonite people. And his dad is there, Mr. John Penner. And John Penner is 70 or 72 years of age. I can't remember. And we were taking him home from church. And they speak, many of those speak, their accent and their brogue is quite different. It's kind of a Spanish-German mixture because they were born in Mexico. But they're Mennonites with their roots in Germany. And they speak a low German rather than a high German. It's not really a Pennsylvania Dutch, which I was used to out in Iowa amongst the Amish people out there. It's a different language. And Brother Penner is very fluent in the low German. And his dad and I had a conversation. It was very difficult for me to understand him at the church, at the fellowship. So he's sitting in the front seat of the car, and Brother Penner is driving. I'm sitting behind Brother Penner and a couple of fellows that we're taking home from church over here. And Brother Francisco says, "Brother Angel, if you would like to try to witness to my dad, I'll translate for you." And so I began to witness to John Penner from the back seat. And I asked John, "John, do you know for sure that you're saved?" And Brother Francisco translated into German, low German. And "Oh, yes, yes, I know that I'm saved." And Brother Penner translates that back to me. "Yes, oh, yes, I know that I'm saved. Tell me about it. When did you get saved?" "Oh, I got saved when I was a boy and I was at the church." And I said, and that's about all he said. This is going through the translator. Okay. And so I said, "Did you trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to save you? Plus nothing and minus nothing." "Oh, yeah, he said to Francisco. And then Francisco preempted me. And he said, "Dad, were you baptized?" Said it in German. Said it in English, then he said it in German. "Were you baptized after you trusted Christ?" And, "Oh, yeah, I was baptized." And he said, Francisco said, "Dad, if you hadn't been baptized, would you be on your way to heaven?" And his dad listened to the question. He said it in English so I could hear it. Then he said it in low German so his dad could hear it. "Dad, if you hadn't been baptized, would you be on your way to heaven?" "No, no, no." And that's what they teach him. That you got to trust in the death and resurrection of Christ and then be baptized on top of it. If you don't get baptized, you don't go to heaven. But that's not what the Bible teaches. See, this is where religion messes. And folks, isn't that sad? Because people really sincerely give their heart to the teaching of their religion. Do you know that? You say, "Well, we do the same thing here." Yes, but we encourage you to bring this old book with you and look in these pages right here and read along and take it home and read it and make sure that what I'm preaching up here is what this book actually says. And nobody else does. Nobody else but Christianity does that with the Bible. And this is the Bible. This is God's Word. Now look, people sincerely give their heart to the teaching of their religion. And when you've got a religion teaching people for decades, generations, that they have to be baptized, and what do you? I just have one simple question. What do you do with the story of the thief on the cross? "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." They didn't take the thief's dead body off the cross and baptize him. Now, look, I think a person ought to get baptized. I think it's biblical. I think it's right. I think it's the first step of obedience. I know God blesses that. But if you add that to the blood of Christ, now the blood of Christ has no power. Has no effectiveness. I love what Dr. Roloff used to sing. "Dark the sin that soiled man's nature, long the distance that he fell, far removed from hope and heaven, near to deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain opened, and the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches," I like this, "deeper than the stain has gone then." Water can't go deep enough. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can go deep enough to wash away the stain of sin in your heart, friend. I'm talking about a bath. This is what Jesus is saying to Peter. "Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part of me." Whoa, 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 whoa. What does that do with all these folks that tell you, "Oh, I've been a Christian all my life"? You know, God is everybody's father. We're everybody's brother. We're one big, happy human family. And we're all going to the same place, just taking different roads to get there. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Oh, that doesn't make a lick of sense. Oh, no. They're not all one big, happy family. Listen to what Jesus said. "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. That's Jesus talking. It's not Muhammad. It's not somebody else's false god. Unless I wash you, you don't belong to me. Well, I've been in church all my life. Unless I wash you. What does that mean, Pastor? That means you come to Jesus Christ confessing that you are a sinner before God, deserved the wages of sin, and you realize that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to take away your sin, and you ask the Lord Jesus, save me, cleanse me, wash me, forgive me, and He washes us and births us into the family of God. And unless Jesus washes us, we have no part with Him. That's pretty plain, isn't it? So you see the bath here. And that's what Jesus told Peter in this conversation. But now, let me talk to you about the sponge bath a little bit. Look at verse number 9. So Jesus tells him, He says, Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Now Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Peter said, goodness gracious, no part with you. Whoa, 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 I don't want that. He said, Lord, man, I want to be with you. I'm on your team. I'm part of your family. Good night. Wash my feet, my head, my hands, under my arms. Give me a whole bath. Well, Peter went from one extreme to the other, didn't he? Isn't that kind of his nature? You're not touching me. Okay, if I don't bathe you, you have no part with me. Wash me all over. Give me a whole. Send me to the car wash. What have you got? Huh? Just the opposite. He's 180 degrees. That's how Peter was. Now look at Jesus' response. Look at it. Don't let it mess you up here. Look at it. Verse 10. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed. Interpret that. He that's had a bath. You like to circle your Bible? He that's saved. He that's saved, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? He that is washed, that's saved. Look what it says, needeth not save to wash his feet. Peter, you don't need your head washed. You don't need your hands washed. You don't need a whole bath. If you've already been saved, you're saved. Interpret that. It's called eternal security. Oh, those horrible words. Eternal security. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. In other words, Peter, you don't need a full bath. Folks, you ever taken a sponge bath? Nobody answered. Okay. I mean, you get up in the morning, you take a bath. Full-fledged bath, full-fledged shower, head, hair, and all. Getting it all. Everything's clean, man, I'm telling you. Getting it all squeaky clean, got the deodorant going, go throughout your day. Maybe it's not tough manual labor where you sweat and drip sweat and grime, but, you know, you just get a little sticky and you come home and it's a little uncomfortable humidity-wise. And you look at your, man, it's time to go to bed. I don't want to take a whole shower. So you get you a washcloth and you kind of wash your hand, wash your face, wash the back of your neck, and just kind of sponge a little bit. With me? Maybe you've never done that. Hey, I'm for you, man. If you take a bath, I'm for you, all right? It's only those of you that don't bathe I'm against, okay? But I'm talking about a sponge bath. I'm talking about He says, Peter says, Lord, I'm plunging in, man. Wash me in the hole, Lord. Yeah, I'm everything. Jesus said, Peter, you don't need that. You don't need that. What do I need? You need your feet. You need the dust washed off your feet. You need the dust knocked off. You don't need, folks, getting saved is like taking a bath from head to foot. We are washed and made clean. And we're only washed and made clean by the blood of Jesus. But once you've been washed and made clean by the blood of Jesus, you don't have to get washed and made clean, saved, all saved again, and re-saved, and saved again, 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 and saved again. You don't have to do that, but you do have to wash your feet. You said, you're talking about my feet? I'm talking about we have to keep our sins confessed. Folks, look it. What carries us through this world? Our feet. Our feet carry us through this world. Our feet take us places. Our feet take us to work. Our feet take us to the grocery store. Our feet take us to the bank. Our feet take us to the hardware. Our feet take us to church. Our feet take us to visit our relatives. Our feet take us to the hospital, the doctor's office, dentist. Our feet take us everywhere. So it is with our feet that we come into contact with planet Earth. It is with our feet that we live in this world. This world's all around us. And listen to me. Anybody who has been saved is coming into contact on a daily basis with a very dirty, filthy world. Say, yeah, it really is dirty around. I'm not talking about dirt. I'm talking about worldly dirt. I'm talking about sin. Because there is nobody who lives sinless after they get saved. So, Pastor, I've been saved. Does that mean I'll never sin again? Unfortunately, I wish it did. And one day it will mean that. Amen. But not now. We live in this world. And through the eye gate and through the ear gate, we come into contact with a world that is dirty, dirty language, dirty actions, dirty suggestions. We need to be forgiven. We need to be washed from our sin on a daily basis. Not saved all over again. And I'm going to tell you why folks get in the condition where they think they need another bath. It's because they don't take a sponge bath. You don't keep your sins confessed. You go day after day after day after day after day after day after day, and the filth and the dirt of this world, just by osmosis, our eye gate, our... You know, I'm going to Canada last Monday. I'm driving. It's only about a 5.5 hour drive to where Brother Penner is, through Windsor, through Detroit, over into Windsor, and then on up the road there, Highway 3 in Canada. And so I'm going along Interstate 80 and 94, and I'll tell you what, you really need blinders. Because every quarter mile, there's a billboard for some stupid joint called a gentleman's club. Which they aren't. They are perverts clubs. And I'm driving along and it's awful. And yet my eyes see it. And I'm driving along and bang and bang. If we don't stop at some point during the day and say, Lord, please examine my heart. Would you please wash me? God, please forgive me. Any thought that I've had, any lie that I've told, the pride of my heart, my greed, my ugliness, the way I talk to my wife, the way I talk to my husband, the way I talk to my dad. Lord, I should never have done that. If we don't stop and take a little bit of a sponge bath every day, you forget that you've been washed. You've got to take a sponge bath. Stay clean. That's what Jesus is telling Peter. You don't need to be resaved. You need to be cleansed from your sin. Your daily sin. Our whatever it is. When we confess, we have the opportunity to be clean. We need to confess and we need to be as specific as we can. You know what it's like? It's like sitting down and letting Jesus take a towel and just give our feet a little bit of a sponge bath. Clean us up a little bit. Lord, it's been a long day. I've heard things on the radio. I got mad at work. I lost my temper. I was ugly to my spouse before I left for work. I snapped at my child. Lord, I really listened to a joke at work today that I should not have listened to. When the punchline was told, my heart felt terrible. God, please wash me, forgive me, clean me. Folks, that's not getting resaved. That's getting your sins confessed and cleaned up, washed. Does that make sense? Don't have to be resaved. Peter, you don't have to be washed again. You don't have to get another bath. Take a sponge bath. Do you have a time? Do you have a... And by the way, we get back to that message. I keep thinking about that Wednesday night Bible study. Order, structure, schedule, routine. Do you have a time where you confess your sin? Because if you don't, you blow right through a day, forget it, go through the next day, forget it, go through the next day, forget it. Now look, we're talking about a bath. Watch me, don't lose me here, we're almost done. I have a bath, that's being saved. And only Jesus. If, Peter, if I haven't washed you, you have no part with me. Now think about that, folks. Because Jesus is where? Heaven. And if I die and have no part with Him, because I haven't been washed, what does that leave me? It leaves me in hell. So Peter, you've got to have a bath. You've had your bath, Peter. You've been saved. Now, Peter, you don't need another bath, but you need to let me wash your feet. You need to get cleansed. You need to get forgiven from your sin. And isn't it a precious thing that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I've got to stop, but we've got two phrases here in verse number 10. He that is washed, that's saved. You in verse 10 there? He that is washed, that's saved. Needeth not save to wash his feet. That means he needs to confess his sins. But he's clean, he's washed, he just needs to get his feet. He's bathed, but he needs to get his feet clean. Now look at this. And ye are clean, but not all. What's he saying? Well, whose feet is he washing? Disciples. And he says, and ye are clean. Peter saved, John saved, James saved, Matthew saved, Bartholomew saved, Nathaniel saved. And ye are clean, but not all. Who's that? That's Judas. Because Judas is not saved. Let me tell you something. Just look at the next verse. But you're clean. You're clean. Peter, James, John, Matthew, you're saved. You're born again. You're bathed. But not all. Look at the next three words. Four words. For he knew who. Look at me. Did Judas have Peter fooled? Come on. Did he have him fooled? Sure he did. Because when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, what did each one of them say? They didn't all, yes, Judas, yes, who it is. They didn't say that. They said, is it? So, Judas had Peter fooled. Had Matthew fooled. Had John fooled. He had them all fooled. Except for, I submit to you, that a human being makes a horrible mistake when they fool everybody and think it's okay. But he knows the truth. I'm not trying to make you lost this morning. I'm not trying to do that at all. You know, if you've never been washed by Jesus. You know. If you've never been washed by Jesus, you know. Maybe you've trusted in some other form of religion. Maybe you've trusted in the baptistry. Maybe you've trusted in doing good. But you know if you've never been washed by Jesus. Maybe other people, you might, because of a good life, you might have some people say, boy, man, if that person doesn't go to heaven, nobody's going to heaven. But Jesus knows you're not going to fool Him. So what I'm saying this morning is this. Make sure you've been washed by Jesus. Amen? Make sure you've been washed by Jesus. Not everybody who struggles trying to live the Christian life is unsaved. But sometimes, folks, listen, it's not easy to live the Christian life if you're not a Christian. Get washed. Be washed. Finish it. You struggle. You fuss. And you hear messages like this, and it's like, ugh. And I'm not trying to make it. I'm just saying, you know if you've been washed. If you've been washed, Let Jesus, on a daily basis, clean your feet up. Confess your sin. But don't make the mistake of fooling everybody else, because you cannot fool Him. Amen? So Peter had a bath. He needed a sponge bath. But Judas Iscariot was the one who had no bath. And we know where he is today. A bath, a sponge bath, and no bath. Thank you for listening. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please, just pay close attention with your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment. Who would say, first of all, Pastor, I've been washed by Jesus Christ. I am saved and I know it. In this analogy, in this illustration from this message, I have had my spiritual bath. Jesus has washed me and I've been saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand, please, if you can say that this morning? Jesus has washed me and I know it. Thank you. Take your hands down for your honesty. Who would say, Pastor, I did not. Okay, you just raised your, you know that you've been washed. How many say, Pastor, I just raised my hand. I know I'm saved. I've been washed. But boy, the business of keeping my heart clean and letting Jesus take a towel and wash my feet or just get my sins confessed. I slip. I hit and miss. I miss more than I hit. Too many days go by between me really taking time to confess my sins and trying to keep short accounts with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you were preaching this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart about that. I'm talking about more than just a generic, Lord, forgive me where I failed you today. I don't mean that. I mean, God, forgive the pride of my heart. Forgive my anger. Forgive my greed and my ugliness and those thoughts. Forgive me today for what I've done. Pastor, the Lord spoke to my heart about letting Jesus wash me daily. Would you raise your hand this morning? Be honest about it. Be honest about it. Yep. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. Now, let me encourage you, if you just raised your hand, try to think of a time when it would be a good time on a daily basis just to take a few moments and let Jesus take a towel and wash your feet. Okay? You say, Pastor, how well do you do? Well, I hit and miss, but I hit more than I miss. Because I kind of got it narrowed down to the best time for me to do that. Boy, I'll tell you something. I don't know how it is for you, but there's nothing more wonderful than talking to the Lord for a few minutes and just letting Him wash you, clean you up. Oh, glory to God. Now let me ask this question. Pastor, I didn't raise my hand a moment ago. I've never been washed by Jesus Christ. I have never been saved. I've not had a spiritual bath at the hands of Jesus through His blood. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. I've not been washed in the blood of Christ. Never been washed in His blood. Anybody like that today? Maybe you've trusted in another religion. Maybe you've trusted in good works or trusted in the water of the baptistry. Pastor, I need to trust in Christ and Him alone to save me. Somebody like that today? Let me pray for you. God bless you. Anybody else this morning? All right. We'll pray just a moment for you. Now, if you've been saved and never baptized, you need to follow the Lord Jesus in believer's baptism. You've trusted Christ as your Savior. You've had your spiritual bath in His blood, but you need to follow Him in the baptistry water, not to save you, but to be obedient to Him. I hope that you'll do. Anybody like that here today? Pastor, I've been saved, but I need to be baptized. God bless you. If you want to be baptized now and be obedient to Christ, I would encourage you to come with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Just sell out to the Lord and be obedient today. It would be a great thing to do. We got folks that can help you while people's heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I would encourage you to come and obey the Lord today. All right. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the privilege of being here this morning. Now, please speak to hearts. I pray for folks who raised a hand that, Lord, they've been saved, but they need to take a towel bath, a sponge bath, and that you confess and clean their sins. I pray, Lord, for anybody who's not saved, that, God, you'll help them today to come and show them how they can take their spiritual bath today. Bless these that are coming to be baptized. How wonderful. Give us, I pray, a good day at the invitation time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to be getting a couple ready for baptism. And then while we do that, it's a good time to have the invitation. Let me encourage you, if you raised your hand, that you need to be serious, more faithful to this matter of confession. confessing sin on a daily basis, let me encourage you to use the altar this morning. Make a good decision for that. Let's stand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one is looking. While the ladies are playing a song of invitation, would you come today?